Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Stephanie Wozniak, Sarah Oblick-Spiker, and Stephanie Byra. I have a question for you. How is working with a high achiever different? Stephanie W., would you like to go first?
Well, yeah, I want to know what we mean by high achiever before we talk about what makes them different.
All right. So high achiever, is it someone who is achieving or wants to achieve?
You know, I was thinking about that because I identify myself as a high achiever too. And I tend to work with women who by the time they're 30 or 40 have already accomplished more than most people ever will. And it's just such an interesting dynamic when it takes a while to own that. Because it comes with so much baggage, and the wound that oftentimes we operate from is, you know, we have to overcompensate for always being told we're not enough or that we're too much. And then thinking that just because of some accolades and results and numbers on a scoreboard or a bank account or a time watch or a scale, it's the results that give us value. I think at the end of the day, I'm always interested in, okay, if you identify yourself high achiever, do you actually own it? Are you clean and clear in this energy in how you're showing up? Or do you identify as such just to get an approval from the society and then results to hide behind?
So that performance dysmorphia, the idea that I'm never doing enough, no matter how much I do. And does that tell us what a high achiever is? Either of the Stephanies, what do you think?
I think it could, especially in your industry, possibly, you know, that might also help dictate high achiever and things like that. So I think, yeah, I mean, some people are always chasing to get to the top. You know, I think that's definitely a thing we're dealing with in society, which is good. You know, you need people to strive to want to be like or emulate or figure out how can I work harder to be like so-and-so to shine and be up and coming, I guess. Yeah.
Well, and like Sarah was saying too, I think it's the attitude of wanting to work towards achievement as opposed to wallowing or fighting for your limitations and here's why I can't do it. So if we're working with a high achiever, they're probably someone who sees possibility and sees potential. Not that they don't see obstacles. They're not blinded by like, this could get in my way, but they're not dwelling on that as an excuse or a reason not to do it.
Yeah. And I feel like high achievers are less likely to allow other naysayers to say, well, you can't do that. Because I was talking to someone earlier today who said, well, so-and-so said XYZ negative thing about me and they're right. I just can't. I don't hear a high achiever saying that.
No, it's usually the opposite. Yeah, watch me.
I got this. I'm ready.
Yeah. What makes us different?
I would go with attitude and this ability to see and read between the lines that even criticism, we can find the feedback that's positive. And we have this filter, which is something I really appreciate in my partnership with Dan Sykes in our business. We are typical athletes. We will throw F-bombs back and forth when needed, but we don't take it personal. It's like, this is what's irritating me. Thank you for the reflection. I see where this still pokes me, where I still have work to get done. And I really appreciate it. It's not wallowing in, oh my gosh, I'm not liked and I'm a terrible person and I'm incompetent because I made a mistake or something. It's like, okay, there's an opportunity for growth. And I think that's one of the biggest differentiators. And then the ability to take action. It's not just thinking and feeling into things and strategizing, but also, okay, great. Let's take action now.
That's a good point. Yeah. I had someone tell me recently that he likes working with me as a coach because I ask the difficult questions and I don't play around with them. I don't make it soft. I mean, I'm nice, I'm kind, but yeah. I'm going to say, really? Is that what we're going to do right now?
Well, because high achievers want to be challenged, I think as well. They want to find their blind spots so they can improve them. They want to see things from other perspectives. It's human to sometimes get defensive, but I think a high achiever is going to take in the information and then like kind of discern about what to do with it.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when you have too many high achievers around the table, though, that can also be a little bit of a struggle. It's nice to be in good company with others who are trying to do their best and lead. But then I think when you have too many people, sometimes that can also cause a little bit of interesting conversation.
They all run off in their own directions.
Yeah. Bringing it back to let's focus on X to be able to get to Why. I think that's something when you have many people in that moment, whether it's your work or professional society or something like that, I definitely think that can be hard. And you need somebody to be kind of like the mediator or bringing it back and focusing, and or the person that's really saying, well, I think these are all great ideas, but let's focus on this one thing and let's move that forward before we get to the other part.
I love that. And I think for me, it brings back to, are you clean and clear around your energy, or are you bringing ego to the table? Because oftentimes when you look around, people who have accomplished the most, they're not the ones who are boasting about it. They just embody that. They just are. And you can feel them when they enter the room, and there's no need to justify their accomplishments or actions or ideas. Just, it just is. And they're open for feedback, like you're saying.
So that's interesting, going back to like, what is a high achiever then? Because it's like, we have kind of this duality of a high achiever who's achieving out of like fear or not enoughness or perfectionism or like all of that kind of self-doubt, lack of confidence, all of those things. You can be a high achiever. What would we call that? Like a high performer, just an overdoer? I don't know. And then there's the achiever, if we're saying achievement is like that without ego or with ease or confidence or presence, like you can be a high achiever in that way, but you can also get there this way too. But it's a very different result and a very different interaction, to Stephanie's point of like, it's probably great to have many high achievers in the room. It's probably not great to have many like overdoers in the room, or whatever we're going to call that.
Yeah. And I think how you work with those people makes a difference. Like the person who's just super calm and collected and has their stuff and they just achieve is a much easier person, I think, to manage and to work with than the person who's striving and needs constant reinforcement and is scared or worried and not doing enough. I think that's another question, because you can work with high achievers in a different way, making sure they don't get bored, whatever. But of those two, then you've got that different split too.
I was just going to say that I can think of people right now that I work with and, you know, have interactions with that have that fear of if I'm not doing a good enough job, but they're a very high achiever, you know, what's going to be the repercussion? And we're like, you're killing it. Like, you got this, you know? And I think that might be a part of it, hearing that constant feedback that you are doing a great job versus the person that's so true. The person that's like, this is me. This is how I operate.
Because that then it's codependency in itself. You keep putting yourself in a position to get praise from others because that feeds you and it feels good. And I've been there myself too. And I'm like, wow, this is just so depleting. So a question that I usually ask is like, what gives you energy? What energizes you? What fills you up as opposed to depletes you? And you know for yourself what feels easy and light and what feels heavy and depleting.
So as a coach, when we talk about like working with someone, like in a corporate setting, you're in a meeting and you're working with someone with this personality type. But for me, like working with someone who's a high achiever means they've come to me for coaching, and it's two totally different approaches, right? If you're working with the person who's that kind of overzealous, overcompensating is the word I was looking for. That's very different coaching conversation, because it doesn't matter what tactics they're doing to achieve whatever it is they're trying to achieve. We need to address those underlying insecurities first and primarily, and maybe for a long time, we're going to be working through those versus the like confident, non-egotistical overachiever is there for a very different reason in those coaching conversations. They're looking for like a thought partner, or they're looking for just like how to be more resourced in different ways that are their blind spots, and just such like night and day conversations.
Yeah. So I think what we're saying is that the kind of overachiever you have in front of you also dictates how you work with them and how they're different from someone who might not be labeled an overachiever. And that question of who labels themselves an overachiever or not is a conversation for a different time, because that is our 10 minutes. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me. And I look forward to speaking to each of you overachievers again very soon.